Join me in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read to you once again verses 11 through 15. And I promise that at some point in time I will move away from this passage. But there's so much here. I want to make sure I expound it well. But there are other parts of the Bible. I do know that. But please join me in this most particular and most important passage to the church. This is a critical passage, and so we are spending a little more time here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and I'll read through 15 this time. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. I pray the Lord's blessing on us today with understanding. I pray that He would teach us here with this word today. And Holy Spirit, come and lead us to live this word which has been read and now spoken. The book of Ephesians, as I said when I began this long ago, is a letter to the church. It is a letter to you. It is a letter to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this letter, you can divide it up into two parts, the first three chapters being the first part, and then chapter 4 and on being the second part. In that first part, we were identified as the church and how we became the church. Then here beginning in chapter 4, we are looking at, learning, being taught now how to be the church and how to live as the church. Very, very theological, but also very practical book is the book of Ephesians. Now, we have spent some time here on chapter 4, as I've said. We began this little journey through chapter 4 discussing the primary pursuit of the church, and that being unity. We are the body of Christ, and so there must be, should be, shall be, whatever word there, be unity within the body. That we are to be unified in our direction, in our ambition, and in our pursuits. But one thing we learned about unity as we moved on through the chapter is that there is diversity in unity. At every turn, we see the many gifts and talents and abilities given the body of Christ and how each, when they fulfill their particular call, their particular using their particular gift, how it all works together and just so cohesively bonds to be the church. So within the unification of the church, there is the diversity of people and the gifts within the church that make it successful. Then as we have concentrated here in verses 11 and 12 and following, we are told rather emphatically that it is the pastor teacher who has the primary obligation, primary call to prepare the people. And he does that through preaching. And that preaching, as I said last week, is meant to form a constitution, to form a new way of living, a new set of guidelines, rules, encouragements, a new constitution so that we would live our lives according to the word preached. The preached word, the reading of God's word here in this time of worship is to be the governing factor over the lives of the people. And that governing factor over the lives of the people has one objective, and that is to lead toward maturity so that we do attain the full measure of Jesus Christ. Maturity. It is our goal. Maturity. It is the goal of every Christian. If you are today where you were last week in your level of maturity, then you are not standing still. You are, in fact, backing up. Because Satan is continuing, and he is not standing still. And so the constant desire toward maturity should be the ambition of every Christian to move closer, to learn more, to be more, to know more about God and His ways. That is, we read in verse 15, as I just closed that reading of the passage, we read in verse 15 that the pastor, if he does his job accordingly, and we follow those teachings, that we will in all things grow up into Him that is the head. We will in all things grow up into Him that is the head, and that is Christ. So we have a process. There is a process. There is a means. There are steps to be taken. The pastor is to prepare the people. And he is to do that, leading them toward unity. Unity in the faith. And in that journey toward unity, we gain knowledge of our Lord. Knowledge of the Son of God. And as we are in the process of unity and in the process of gaining knowledge, and this pursuit is continued toward unity, we are promised that we will attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And if we do all these things, then look at the promise you were given. And I think this promise should be one of greatest desires for you, for me. Look at verse 14. If we do all those things, as said in the earlier verses, then we will no longer. It doesn't say we might no longer. It doesn't say we have the possibility of no longer. It says we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching in the cunning and the craftiness of men. If we do what it says in the holy word of our Lord, particularly verses 12 and 13, then we will no longer be infants. Then we will no longer be tossed back and forth. Then we will no longer be blown here and there by every cunning and craftiness of men. This is an emphatic promise. No longer. No longer. As we have said, the safety and stability of the people depend on the Word of God being given to the people. Then we will no longer be prone to these failures cited here. Now, I want you to think on this because it's all around us. How many churches today are tossed back and forth by the waves of the latest cultural fad? How many churches are tossed about because of an ignorance of Holy Scripture? How many churches become victims to the latest fad because their pastor has ceased preaching the Word of God, but rather has succumbed to the latest program, or to the latest fad, or to the latest self-help book, or you fill in the blank. So many pastors have given over to these latest encouragements and have left this word behind. How many of us in the church are diverted from the true faith? By the cunning and craftiness of men who deceitfully are preaching their own messages rather than simply holding forth the Word of God and says, this is what the Bible says. How many? Many, many, many issues in the church today could be avoided if the pastor would simply preach from the Word. This week at the meeting of General Synod, we voted to sever all ties with the Presbyterian Church USA. It is something we've discussed over time. It's not something we've moved at lightly. This decision was due in part, not fully, but in part, because of their desire to ignore Scripture and to ordain into the pastoral ministry professing homosexual and lesbian individuals. Now, I want to encourage you, do not blame those who profess to be gay. Do not blame them. For they are blinded by their sin. Just like the man who's involved in adultery, when you accuse him, he says, "Oh, no." Or the person who is an alcoholic and you go to him and you confront him and he says, "Oh, no, not me." Blindedness by sin is commonplace for every sin. So this direction by the PCUSA Church, do not blame the individuals. The blame rests squarely on the shoulders of the pastors who fill the pulpit week by week, who no longer preach the full counsel of God's holy word to the people. That is who is to blame. The people of the PCUSA Church have not been prepared properly. Therefore, the denomination is falling to the cunning and the craftiness of men who are leading that organization. And they are leading according to their own deceitful scheming. But this can be avoided. This does not have to be the case. This could be avoided. And it can be avoided simply by holding the full counsel of God through preaching before the people. It can be avoided. I'd like to ask you to take out your bulletin. I don't know where you might have stuck it here lately, but in your Bible or somewhere, just take out your bulletin, the outside cover, and look to the right. Look to the right. Several things here. The biblical theme of New Sterling Ministries. Our purpose. But look at the vision statement. This is something your session approved a couple of years ago. I've mentioned it to you before. But look what it says. It is our vision that as a people, we will live to the full spectrum, we will live our lives in full obedience to what? The complete counsel of God. Now, that means that every time you come here and sit under preaching, every time you sit under someone's teaching, every time you have a committee meeting, every time you have a circle meeting, every time you meet for whatever means and the Word of God is disseminated in whatever fashion is at hand, that vision must be fulfilled. There is not one word in Holy Scripture that I can ever say does not apply. There is not one word in Scripture I can say, "Oh, this was written in the first century. And they had those issues there, but man was not intelligent enough to see where man would grow to in the 21st century and the problems they would encounter." And so that word doesn't imply. You see, that's the argument the PCUSA Church uses today for ordaining homosexuals and lesbians, is that simply man is much too wise today for this word to apply. That is a lie. We're as stupid today as we were in the first century. But please know, here at New Sterling, I think as long as the men who sit on the session right now sit on the session, this will be the case. The entire counsel of God's Word will be preached, because that is what is necessary to prepare the people of God's church. And in doing all of this, Paul says in verse 15 once again, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is Christ. But I have a question. Is speaking the truth in love, the preaching of the Word, is that the only means Paul provides here to lead the church toward maturity? Are we only to hear God's Word and then be taken mystically to that place of being completely matured? Well, now the Holy Spirit can do whatever He desires to do. And if after one of these preaching events, all of us just supernaturally make it to that point of complete maturity, then that would be a great thing. But I ain't seen it happen yet, so I don't think that's the typical way. Now, preaching is the incredible, inevitable, obvious starting place. But Paul has provided us with another means to be used in conjunction with preaching. Go with me back to verse 12. Look with me at verse 12. It says, pastors and teachers are given to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. All right, now, that phrase, works of service, is an important key phrase, and it is the other means that is to be used in conjunction with preaching. So what are works of service? Every one of you could probably name some things. Works of service are the ministries of the church, simply that. The ministry of the church, the ministries of the church, are the works of service given to the church to fulfill, to continue the call of God, the work of the church in the land. The works of service are the activities of the church in which they do to fulfill the call of a particular church. For us here at New Sterling, the list is long. The works of service are many. The choirs, this choir behind me, C3 as they come up here, that is a work of service. The session, the diaconate, short-term missions trips, keeping the nursery. Now, Pastor Tim, listening to screaming, crying, pooping little kids, how is that a work of service? Yes. But is your patience not greater after a stint or more frayed? The works of the nursery there. All of our committees. Now, this is the one that usually is left outside. All of our committee work, all of our committees meet, and they are a work of service. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Bible studies, circle meetings, leading our youth groups. How much have you grown, Scott, as you've led our youth group? Jessica? Kelly, you've been involved, Ryan, Taryn, all of us who have done our tour of duty through youth groups. Those are all works of service. Now, here is the point, though. Each of these ministries, each of these works of service fulfill a role accomplishing the objective of the particular ministry. But, a capital but, these ministries are in reality simply vehicles, simply instruments to be used in the maturing process of the people. These are instruments to be used to meet the objective of whatever ministry it is, but that's not the first objective. That's a secondary. The first objective of any committee, of any Bible study, of the choir, of anything where we gather together, the first objective is to fulfill verse 12 of Ephesians 4. It is a work of service whereby the people, as they are involved, mature in their walk with Jesus Christ. So ministry leaders, every one of you who head up a ministry, every one of you who lead, elders, deacons, all of you who step in front and lead any one of these ministries, you have a particular responsibility there to complete the objective, but you have foremost the responsibility of taking the people who are involved in your ministry and aiding in their maturing as they walk along with Jesus Christ. So you are to empower, to encourage, you are to edify, you are to discipline, you are to correct. The people who are involved in your ministry and help them move along in their walk of maturing. Now, I know this is a great challenge. You ask, how when we work in the kitchen, is that an aid in my maturing? How much talking goes on while you're working in the kitchen? It's endless. There is encouragement. There is fellowship. There is compassion. There is love with one another. And you bond. And if you have a problem, who are you going to go to first? Probably someone there that's closest to you, right? That's part of the maturing process. All of these ministries are to be used in that maturing process. So leaders, it is your obligation to help in whatever small way. Don't think anything is too small in helping them move along. Because here is what happens. You are to empower the people in the committee, in the ministry, to use their Spirit-given gifts and to function within that organization or within that ministry. And as they are using their gifts, as they are using their abilities, they are discovering more about God. They are discovering more about themselves. They are witnessing the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they are gaining confidence that what is being said here is actually true. I am maturing as I am involved. And throughout all of this, this process of being involved, throughout all of this, each person realizes that they are, in fact, a functioning, growing, dynamic part of the body of Christ. One of the most important things a person needs to realize in any organization is that they are, in fact, a viable part of that organization. If they feel like they're on the periphery, then that's where they'll stay. But when you enjoin them into being involved and that their involvement is important, then you got them. Because we like to belong. We like to be a part. Question for you. Who is the minister of New Sterling? Before you answer, let me give you a clue. Who is the minister of New Sterling? And the clue is this. It ain't me. It ain't me. I heard it behind me. It is you. It is you. You are the minister of New Sterling. You are the ministers of New Sterling. You are the ministers. You are the one who has authority and rule and governing over the ministries of this church. Because you are the minister. You fulfill the ministries. And as you are the ministers ruling over the ministries of this church, you fulfill the objective, but you grow through the process. It is not me. I am the pastor. I am the teacher. The session, they are not the ministers. They are the ruling, the administrators. They are the ruling elders over. It's not the deacons. The deacons provide tangible physical support to the ministries of the church, but they are not the ministers in and of themselves as a board. As you are involved, as you minister, you grow. And as you grow, according to this promise, you will be able to resist the temptations, the trials, the turmoils of this life that surrounds you. And I've seen this. I have had the beautiful pleasure of witnessing so many of you grow as you are involved in the ministries of this church. Some of you have come to me and said, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't understand. But yet you do it. And you are involved. And now you are not the same person you were 8 years ago. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You are following this teaching. You are crawling up out of your box and getting involved. I could go through the congregation right now, and I could point out several of you and tell you your story of growth through the involvement in the ministries of this church. But that's your testimony. That's your testimony. I'll let you tell that. You see, that's in essence what Paul is teaching here. Yes, I am to preach. I am to prepare you through the preaching, but then you are to do what the preaching says. And we do that through the ministries of the church. So if you ask the question, how can I mature in my walk with Jesus Christ? Then I'm going to give you a couple of things. Devotions, reading your word daily, prayer. Those are the first obvious things that every Christian, I pray, is doing. But if you go on, or if I were to go on and fully answer your question, then I'm going to bring you to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. And you ask me, how can I mature? Then I'm going to say that it is my job to prepare you through teaching for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then you will mature, and you will be no longer tossed about like an infant. You will no longer be caught up in the waves of the cultural fads that are brought about around you. This is the answer. I stated at the beginning here of this sermon that the book of Ephesians is a letter given to the church of Jesus Christ detailing how we became the church, and that is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and His calling to us. But also in this letter, we are to live and experience being the church. And to live and experience the fullest benefit of being the church, then that means you must be physically involved. And we have so many openings, you'd be hard-pressed to say there's not a place. But you must be involved. And to be physically involved means more than simply attending the 11 o'clock worship time. It is more than that. Now, this is the place to start. This is the beautiful beginning. But that's just it. This is the beautiful beginning. There is so much more. This time on Sunday morning is where we began. The ministries of the church is where we continue the journey toward maturity. Are you involved in the ministries of this church? Somewhere. If you are, then you are following the path toward spiritual maturity of which Paul lays out. If you are not, then I encourage you to find somewhere to come and get involved. If you are not involved, then you are not taking full advantage of what God has given you to lead toward your maturity. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Turn with me to page 399 in your celebration hymnal. We're going to sing this song here just in a moment. 399, we are God's people. Look at verse 3. We are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey Him, now risen from the dead. He wills us. He wills us to be a family, diverse, yet truly one. And here's your part. Oh, let us give our gifts to God, and so shall His work on earth be done. God has chosen for His work to be done through the working of the church. As I said 2 weeks ago, when one of us doesn't fulfill our call and use our gifts within the ministries of the church, then this church cannot do what this third verse is saying. We can't fulfill all God has given us to do, because it takes every single one of us to be God's people together.